thank you very much, Pavel, that you will be here today. We want to start with a little interview with you, and it was really nice for us to talk with you today. And before we start with our questions, can you short introduce yourself? So let's say 1 minute elevator pitch like.
Thank you for the invitation as well. My name is Pavel Klemmer. I'm a CEO of Bonster Marketplace. I'm with Bonster from November 2020. Before that, I used to be a CEO of one of the biggest non-banking loan originator in Czech Republic. So that's my background with loans and also right now with Bonster Investing. So that's me.
So it's the first time you are on the Invest, I guess. So how did you like the fair so far?
Well, surprisingly, it's very, very perfect, but it's very intense.
Yeah.
It's our first time, and I think it was you guys who told me on one of the podcasts, because I asked you where should we go. It would be fine to be in Stuttgart in Invest, so that's why we decided. And it is really, really, really good, a really nice experience. And really a lot of people from the investors to the influencers to some business partners to meet in person, because the time right now is a little bit more online. So it's perfect to meet in person. It's great.
Great.
Cool. And did you take anything away from the talks for you to your platform, or will you be... have some ideas.
Yeah, of course. We are meeting investors that are interested into Bonster and not already our investors. So some of the questions raised just bringing us some new ideas how to approach those new investors, and also some investors that are already with Bonster with some of their comments or what they would appreciate are a lot of ideas to take away from the fair.
Okay, so let's come to the business.
Okay.
Okay, so we have right now this situation in Russia, and we see different communication on the platforms. For example, PeerBerry is very active in the communication, but we see not that much email communication about the Russian loans from Bonster. So what's going on right now?
Yeah, because the last communication we gave is that we are negotiating a way how to get the funds from Russian Federation to European Union without, let's say, any losses on, for example, exchange rates and so on. And this is still the status. So of course, I feel this. I this is not the only comment I hear this through these days that our communication is not sufficient. So maybe we want to refresh it. But from my perspective, there will be no more like detailed information, because there is a lot of work, a lot of negotiations, which is many times not, how to say it, publishable, because there are a lot of things that are under sanctions, and you have to find the way. So at this point, we have some possibility of how to get the funds, but there is a very huge difference in the exchange rates, because the companies want to pay in rubles, but the exchange rate of ruble when we even collect it in Russian Federation and use some channel to get it into European Union, but the exchange rate then is a little bit different than Russian National Bank gifts in Russia. So it's like 15% loss on the exchange. So that's why we still search another different ways of how to do it without any further loss for our investors. So, but as I said in the beginning, not all of these possibilities are applicable and then publishable, because sometimes we hit the wall, some legal frame, and we had to quit this possibility, and we are back on the start. So I don't think it would be good for investors to see all the possibilities and then it will be canceled. So I don't think it's a good way. But of course, I agree that would be fine to refresh the communication from us that we're still working, but we're still on the but we still don't have the perfect solution for us without any losses.
I would say, so for me personal, I would take directly the 85% and take the 50% loss or whatever, but I have my money back from Russia. because there's the risk about 100% loss in the end. So maybe I'm not sure.
Yeah, it can be a decision for each investor. If you can say, make a smart survey and say,
I think Mintos did it like this way. So
do you want 50% back, or do you want to wait and hope to get everything back?
Nobody knows how long the situation will go on.
Okay, good point. Thank you.
I'm not sure. What would you do with your money if you would be in the same situation like the investor?
Well, it's a matter of time, because of course.
So you would wait.
I don't think that from the end of February it's such a long time, because both companies agreed that they will repay the interest, so we still keep them on track through their sister companies. I know that there were some situation that the funds didn't come, but it was only late because they are really using their sister companies to fund this. So when we keep them on track with the funds, I still believe, and they still communicate with us on a weekly basis, and we're still negotiating, and also not only us but also these companies are looking for some solution, because monster investors are not the only thing that they should deal with. So that's why I see that there is still from what ways to decide. So if there is the only way and I see that the things are going down, of course I would take, as you say, even 50% now, then nothing in the future. Of course, the same. And you know, my history, I stopped it with my CEO appointment before Bonster, but 14 years before, I was a head of collection department in different companies. So I think I know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get the best of it for our investors.
Okay.
Let's hope the best.
From new problem to an old problem, let's talk about Poland. So, are there still problems with Polish lenders, or were defaulted in COVID, or
yes.
Repaid or not?
Yeah. Let's start from the most problematic part of the Poland or Polish loan originators. It's Mikrokasa and Speedcash who are under this restructuring regime. And, you know, with the Polish course, it's really hard. You know, the month doesn't mean anything from the time point of view. We are getting updates from our Polish lawyers, but there is nothing to update to investors. We can still say rewrite the same situation, but I don't think this is efficient communication. So we will publish, of course, when there is something new in the case. So this is, for me, this is the most problematic part, because the Polish courts still consider these loans as equity of the loan originator, and we are not able to convince them that it is equity of the investor and the loan originator is only a cash point or a collection point, however we call it. So it's the most problematic part of the Polish loan originators. The better ones are those who we have some agreements with. So, for example, Netgotovka and OmniGrant right now we're making some agreement on installment schedule, that we have some offer between us. I set up some limits for them, what the installment schedule should look like. They give the installment schedule that looks like this. So most probably in next weeks, we will be able to agree on that, and they will start to repay. In the case of Netgotovka, it will firstly come with smaller installments, and they will rise up. And with OmniGrant, with all the Szybka Pożyczkas, there were three companies, the OmniGrant group, there will be probably, again, installment schedule. My limits were to be like within maximum 1 year to be settled. So we both agreed. We also get their financial data. So I'm just at the moment to having some negotiations with them. The other way around was that if we are not able to agree on this, that we will go, of course, the legal way. But we are still avoiding this situation, because we see that what we were able to recover without any legal steps in Poland was much, much more money than we are right now with Mikrokasa and Speedcash, as I said in the very beginning. So that's it.
And what do you think, how long will it go with Mikrokasa?
And what is the forecast, how much money we can get back?
Because how much money we can, yeah, okay. Like from my experience and what we know about the insolvency regime, it can be around 30% of the investment. So that's probably, but the time frame, I really can't predict, guys. It's really hard.
It's
because
more years than months.
Yes, it's probably years. Yeah, it's really hard.
I think the Eurocent case on Mintos took, I don't know, 5 years without COVID.
And without positive effects, or is it?
No, yeah, it's a write-off, yeah.
Yeah, complete write-off. Yeah.
I don't know whether it's in your questions, but it's of course good to say that in COVID also there were two companies that defaulted the same way that Mikrokasa and Netgotovka did. And we successfully collected 100% of the principal plus the interest. So the Lime South Africa and Czech loan originator Simpuchka, which settled the debt like a month ago. And it was the principal plus all the interest up to the payment date. So the investors didn't lose anything. So also some successful collection cases, but not all of them can be, of course.
Yeah, of course. So we have also some loans in Moldova, and the Russians claimed also that they want to go to Moldova also. How you assess the risk of the loans, or do you plan to suspend also the loan origination there, or the loan originators?
You mean in Moldova?
In Moldova, yeah.
Until there is some sanction program or something we see coming, we're not probably go to suspend them upfront. But if we, of course, anytime we see some risk, we are suspending the loan originator from publishing any new loan. So,
okay. After all the problems, let's talk about the future. I hope the future will be a good future.
There is a future for bonds.
Is there a future? You know, I hope there's a future. But in general, we're interested in the future of your platform. What have you for concrete plans for the next months?
Yeah, like in next months, we're right now in the development phase. I mean, the development, like the architecture of the product. Then it goes to IT development, of course. But we are thinking about our investors will be able to make interest from the balance account, even that is not invested. So if there is some money and you are on your virtual account and you are waiting for some investment to come and it is not invested, then you would be able to turn it on, and you will probably get something like 3 or 4% of an interest, which is a small yield, but at least something, but with immediate possibility to invest from that account or withdraw the money. So let's say instant liquidity, but with 3 or 4% of an interest on this. And something more, if you want some 30 days exit, you will get, let's say, 1% percentage point more on this. So
it remembers me on another product, isn't it?
Which one, you said?
Sounds like Go and Crow a little bit, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Bondora Go and Crow a little, huh?
Bondora is not the inspiring point. We have something in the Czech Republic, but also we see this opportunity because of the accounts and saving accounts in Czech Republic in this environment that are, we can compete easily, and they are not that with this kind of liquidity. So there's a 1 year exit or something like that, or a fee for exiting it. Mm-hmm. And with this, we would be able to give such a competing product to these accounts. So Bondora was not the inspiration for that. But I saw, of course, what they have. So I know.
Okay, so I think we are already over time. So I think we should close this interview. Thanks, Pavel, for answering our questions. And I would say let's have a lot of fun still on the Invest. And see you next time.
Thank you very much, too.
Thank you very much, guys. Thank you.